Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Because he is love. And everything he says in wisdom. Because he is wisdom. As you're learning from Proverbs this month. Everything he says is truth. Because he is the truth. He can never say anything that would be a denial of himself. Now, as we've just been worshiping and standing before the Lord, I've read a series of scriptures from Isaiah. Wonderful promises, wonderful truths, spoken in love, spoken in wisdom, spoken in truth. If you're going to be the person of faith that God wants you to be, you will mark such words as these in your Bible. You will write them out. You will remember them. You will write them on your heart. You will keep speaking them over your life. Because you see, the life of all of faith is all about daring to believe what God has said. Not what he said about others, but what he says to you. And if you're going to live a life of faith, you would take such promises as these and many, many more that are in Scripture, and you will make them your own. Whether God is speaking historically to Israel or not, he's speaking to you personally through his word now. And you see, as you do this, the more you do this, the more you get God's perspective on your life. You begin to see him, you begin to see yourself as he sees you. Instead of seeing yourself through your feelings and your own thoughts and attitudes, God begins to renew your mind. The only way your mind gets renewed is by being filled with the Word of God. Because then it's filled with the thinking of God. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, but he has revealed those high thoughts. So some of those things, if you looked at yourself, you would think, how can this be true for me? And yet this is what God sees. This is what God says. You are who he says you are. You want to shine like that bright jewel. Because he sees his glory in you. Remember what Jesus prayed before he went to the cross, that the glory that the Father had given him, he gives to you. That's not just the glory that you will have in heaven when you finished your time on earth. It's the light of his glory that he wants to see in your life now. See, he sees you with all those sins washed away, just like the Word says, he's put all your sins behind his back. He remembers them no more. If you're foolish enough to think about it, you can remember your sins, but he can't. Because he knows that forgiveness removes even the memory of sin. When you forgive the sin of somebody else, you no longer dwell upon what they did to you. You forget it. And no matter what they did, it will no longer impact your life and have any influence once you have forgiven them. Because it's as if that thing never happened. This is the amazing thing about God, you see. A forgiven sin no longer exists. The devil always wants to point people back, always wants to remind them of what they did when they failed, and even wants you to look at others in the light of their past failures. Oh, well, I forgive you, but I'm not going to forget. Well, that's not real forgiveness, is it? But you see, he sees all that sin washed away. He's put all your sin behind his back. He sees you pure, holy in his sight, made totally righteous and acceptable. How could Christ live in an unacceptable person? The mercy of God is amazing. See, because the first way in which you experience this great love is through his mercy. Now, what the Lord has been saying to us these last few days, he's been reminding us that the Father's love for the Son will be in us. That's his great promise. That the love that the Father has for Jesus will be in you, so that you love Jesus with the same love that the Father has for Jesus. And that prompts us to think, how does the Father love Jesus? What really is the nature of that love? And what you see in the life and the ministry of Jesus is his ability to depend completely on the love of his Father, because he knew that that is an unfailing love. And you see, the secret to understanding the love of God is this. He loves you for only one reason. Because he loves you. He loves you because he loves you. He doesn't love you because of what you've done. He doesn't love you because of what you do. He loved you even while you were a sinner. He loved you when he'd called you and chosen you, even before you knew you were called and chosen. And you see, the thing about God's love is this. It can never, ever change. You see, the Father loved the Son perfectly. The only way that God can ever love you is perfectly. He can't do anything imperfect. He can't even say, well, I'm going to love you less than I love Jesus. Because his love is always constant. As is the love of Jesus. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His love can never change. His love can never diminish. Oh, it's going to take us, I think, all of our lives and probably all of eternity to understand how vast and great that love is. But we live in this love. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue to live in my love. Abide in my love. That's living in this full acceptance that the Lord has. No condemnation. He who hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He will not be condemned, but has already passed from death to life. You have died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You've been crucified with Christ, and you no longer live, but Christ lives in you. The one whose love loves you with a steadfast, unchanging, eternal love. And the amazing thing about God is this. It doesn't matter what you do to him, he will still love you with that same love. You can deny him, he will still love you. You can fail him, he will still love you. You can sin against him, he will still love you. You can backslide and he'll still love you. And when you come back to him, you'll find that he still loves you. Because you see, his love never changes with circumstances. And this is what you see in the parable of the prodigal son. The father loved his son even though he was off in terrible sin, wasting inheritance with prostitutes and wild living and so on, he ending up feeding pigs. Father still loved him. When the son came back all repentant, Father, I've sinned before heaven and before you. No longer worthy to be called your son, but the father didn't even let him finish the little speech he'd composed before his return. But he just embraced him, kissed him, lavished gifts upon him. Why? Well, that's the nature of his love. He didn't lecture him. He didn't punish him. Why? Because the punishment was taken by Jesus. You can sin and sin and sin and sin. God still won't punish you. Because your punishment was borne by Jesus. Oh, if you continue to sin, you punish yourself. Because you deny the peace and the joy that could be yours. If you did not persist in sin. But God won't punish you. He promises that he won't because Jesus has borne your punishment. So when difficult things happen, don't fall into the devil's trap of thinking, this is punishment. You know, what have I done to deserve this? Well, from God's perspective, the only thing you can ever deserve is his love. Because the only way he will ever react and respond to you is with love. So in love, he's always willing to be merciful. In love, he is always willing to lavish his grace upon you, to give to you again and again and again and again. Doesn't matter how many times you fail, he'll still forgive you, pick you up, brush you down, set you on your feet, get you moving again. It's simply the nature of his love. God can never do anything that is against his nature. Oh, when we fail the Lord, we feel, Lord, I don't deserve your love. And that's true, we don't deserve your love, but he still loves you. Oh, Lord, I failed you again and again. He says, yes, and I love you again and again. Your sin is not going to stop me loving you. Your failure is never going to stop me loving you. And to love you with my perfect love. I won't reduce the level of my love according to your performance. I will always love you perfectly. I will always love you with the fullness of your love, no matter what your performance. Of course, when we walk in loving obedience to the Lord, we can enjoy his love and know his love in a much greater way. But it doesn't mean that he loves us more because we're obeying him. It's just that we can live in that love, that great and wonderful love, without having all those negative feelings of failure and thinking that we don't sort of measure up to the mark. If you take Jesus as the standard, and that's always God's standard, he is always God's standard, none of us live up to the mark. What does sin mean? It means missing the mark. Missing the mark of God's perfection. But the wonderful thing about God's forgiveness is that it restores you to perfection. What does the scripture say? That in him you have been made perfect forever. Not you will be, but you have been. What does it mean to be redeemed? It means to be made perfect. Sadly, we don't live in that perfection. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You see, the scripture says, aim for perfection, not as an unattainable goal, but aim to live in the perfection that God has given you through the cleansing power of his blood and the new life that is yours in Christ. Christ, the perfect one, could only come and live in someone who is made perfect. That's why there has to be repentance before the new life. You see, God has to take out of our lives the striving to become something that we already are. But we don't realize that we are that because of our unbelief. Because of not fully accepting what the scripture says about us. You are not who you feel you are, but who God says you are. Can everybody say amen to that? Amen. Your feelings can deny who God says you are. But that doesn't alter the fact of who God says you are and what he has accomplished for you in Christ. So we're not trying to become something or attain a seemingly unattainable goal, a holy life, a perfect life. God says, no, I've given you my holiness. I am your holiness. I am your righteousness. I have made you perfect forever in my sight, in my Son. Now I want you to believe what I have done. Believe what I have said, and so live in the good of it. So when God forgives us, he restores us to innocence. You see, what does the conviction of sin do? The conviction of sin makes you feel guilty. What does forgiveness do? God says, not guilty. Imagine a court of law for a moment. And you have a prisoner who's charged with all kinds of crimes. And the prisoner comes into the court and he addresses the judge and he says, yes, I've murdered, I've raped, I've stolen, I've been violent and abusive, I've done all those things. And the judge looks at him and says, not guilty. You would think, how can that be? Not guilty because he's confessed his guilt. And standing between him and the judgment that he deserves is the blood of Jesus. So there's no punishment for that criminal because he confessed his sin and actually asked the judge for mercy. So the judge says, not guilty. There have been a number of people over the years that have prayed for me as I've been traveling around. And I can easily point to the most powerful time when somebody prayed for me and the power of God really came upon me. And it was while I was visiting a prison in Argentina, where there are 1,500, at least when I went there, there were 1,500 born-again prisoners, and whole floors of the prison. There were no warders, but there were pastors. Who cared for the rest of the prisoner. They turned their dining room into a chapel and spent the day praying and studying the word and so on. And we were privileged. There was a small group of about 7 or 8 of pastors who were visiting. And usually you're not allowed to go actually onto the floor where the prisoners were, but we were. And then the leaders, the pastors of these various floors, they called them evangelical floors in the prison. The pastors met with us and offered to pray for us. And the man who prayed for me, when he prayed for me, the power of God just really hit me. And he was a man who was in the prison for murdering 2 policemen and seriously wounding another. And he'd come to the Lord while he was in the prison. He'd been in there for about 2-3 years. And he'd sort of risen, if you like, through the ranks in the prison and become the pastor of a whole floor of prisoners. And he'd never been charged because they didn't have enough evidence against him. And he said to me, I know that I should be in here for the rest of my life because it's policemen I killed. He said, I can't undo my crime. I've written to the families. I've asked them for forgiveness. But I know that the Lord has completely forgiven me. You see, he used to be a murderer, but he wasn't a murderer. He's a saint, a son of God, filled with the Spirit of God. But let me tell you, a mighty anointing on his life. I mean, I've had some very well-known household names pray for me over the years, people that you would all recognize, but the power of God never hit me like it did when that man prayed. See, it doesn't matter what you were, it's who you are. And even if he was right that he would never be released, he's got a whole ministry there. And as we were leaving, this small group of pastors that was meeting with us said, leave your business cards with you because we'll pray for you every day. Amazing, isn't it, the fellowship that there is in the body of Christ. You know, I've shared fellowship with a former murderer of policemen who has been made perfect in God's sight. I could never judge him for what he did because God doesn't judge him for what he did. He's forgiven him. Is this good or is this good? And I mean, if somebody can live with freedom from that, we can live in freedom from whatever, in whatever ways we fail God. This is this great love that we have, that the world needs. All around us, we're surrounded by people who aspire to be something, trying to succeed in life, trying to attain their goals. Suffering a lot of frustration, many of them, or trampling over other people to achieve their goals. It's a nasty world out there. But within this nasty world, we have the love of Jesus. And it's the same nasty world into which Jesus came. The nature of the world hasn't changed. The nature of the flesh hasn't changed. What goes on in religious circles hasn't changed. It's just the same today as it was then. But the love of God just shines through the life of Jesus. And you look at the time he spent with the disciples and how often the disciples failed. I mean, in the Gospels, the disciples, they fail again and again and again. And they're actually living with the Son of God. I mean, they're seeing him at work every day. They're able to touch him physically. They see the miracles and the healings. And still they fail him. And still he loves them. And still he longs for the time when the Spirit will come upon them and they will be transformed. And although they will still fail him in many ways, they will actually fulfill the plan and purpose for which he has chosen them. And this is the thing you have to remember now. You students, you know, you're getting near the time now, you've got to consider, okay, what's next, Lord? After the glory of Rafi, what could possibly compare with that? I mean, what's next? But you know, you don't have to worry about that because God's got it planned. He's not asking you to devise a plan. He's not saying to you, what would you like to do next? What appeals to you? No, no, no. He's got a plan for you. And you see, with God's plans, he's careful not to reveal them too soon. Because you might try to make his plans happen. instead of allowing him to cause them to happen. And it's one of the elements of faith, isn't it? Trusting in him. So, okay, Lord, I trust you for my future because actually you called me and chosen me and planned my future and prepared the good things that I am to walk in. Yeah, it's going to require my response to what you reveal to be your plan and purpose. But in all this, you love me. You know my situation. You know what you're going to require of me in the future. You know it all, Lord. I don't have to worry. You see, what is worry? Worry is lack of trust for Jesus. That's why he says, you know, do not worry about anything. Worry isn't going to help you. It's not going to add anything to your life. It's not going to change the circumstances. Worrying about something never has a positive effect on any situation. Which is why God says 366 times in Scripture, fear not. Fear not. I mean, the first scripture I read when we were praying just now, fear not. For I am with you. I mean, what is there to be afraid of if he is with us? Can't he cope? Do you think worrying is going to cause God to manage things better? Or to change his mind about something? No, no, no. We trust the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. You've already read that twice in Proverbs in the last few days. The fear of the Lord, being in awe of him, is the beginning of wisdom. You read that a couple of times as well. You see, God in his infinite love, he actually says, in effect, to all of us, it's okay. I'm in charge. I'm your Lord. I'm your King. I'm your Master. If you entrust yourself to me, it's for me then to carry out my purpose in your life. It's only when you don't trust me and start to get worried and anxious that then I can't work out my purpose in the way that I want until you stop worrying and begin to trust me. And ultimately, you see, all this is dependent upon living in the revelation of his love. Now, Jesus says, I mean, everything he says is wise, but it's an infinitely wise thing when he says, abide in my love, live in my love. See, the point is this, you can know about his love and yet not live in it. You can know his love and yet not walk in it. You can know he's the God of grace and yet not walk in grace. You can know he's the God of mercy yet not walk in mercy. You can know he's the God of power and yet not walk in power. You can know that he's the God of truth and yet not walk in truth. You can know he's the God of holiness yet not walk in holiness. You can know he's the God of righteousness yet not walk in righteousness. You can know an awful lot about God and yet not walk in the life that he's made available because the Spirit of Christ is in you. So what is the Christian life? The Christian life is walking with the Lord, at one with Him, in the life, in the love that He has given us. The love that He has poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus says to the disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." He's saying, walk in my love. Live continually in that love. Live continually in my mercy, in my forgiveness, knowing that I don't judge you, don't condemn you. There's no condemnation for you because you're in Christ. I hate sin. I don't want to see sin in your life. But when there is sin and you confess it, I forgive you. I forget your sin. I put it behind my back. It's as if it never happened. And I restore you to that place of perfection in Christ. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. This is the gospel. This is the good news. Listen to me. Anything less than this is less than the good news. How many people preach less than the good news? How many people who claim to be Christians live in less than the good news? The good news is all that God has accomplished for us. Through Jesus, through the new birth He has given us, the new person that He has made you, and the new life that He's given you through the power of His Spirit. That's the good news. So, the Scripture says, in Him, in Christ, you have been enriched in every way. But you lack no spiritual gift that God has blessed you in Christ with every spiritual... You see, these are not scriptures to learn. They're truths to live by. God has enriched me. I confess that scripture every day over my life. That in Him I have been enriched in every way. I lack no spiritual gift. Why? Because it's what the Word of God says, not because I've got exalted ideas about myself. I simply believe what He says. That He's blessed me in with every spiritual blessing in heaven, not because I've got a big-headed attitude, but because it's what He says. I will do the same things as Him and greater things still, not because I've got exalted ideas of myself, but I simply believe what He says. That anyone who has faith will do even greater things than He did. So I believe it. See, do you believe Jesus? He is the Word of God. How can you separate Jesus from His Word? It's just living, abiding in this wonderful, 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 wonderful love. I've failed Him more times than I would care to even think about. But He still loves me. He will still use me. He will still fulfill the plan and purpose that He had for me. Even my failures will not prevent Him. That's why another scripture that I speak over my life every day is What I have said, that will I bring about, and what I have planned, that will I do. See, I believe that. I believe that what he has said in his word, he will bring about. What he has said for me, as one who believes his word, he will bring it about. What he has planned for my life, he will do. And yes, there may be times when I fail, there may be times when I miss the mark, maybe times when I fall short of the best purposes of God, but he knew that. Before he called and chose me, he could see the end from the beginning. He knew that, and he knew, that's okay, I'm not losing faith with you, Colin. I'm not giving up on you. I know, but I know I'll also bring you back. I'll bring you through that, and I know that you will fulfill what I planned for you because I watch over my word to perform it, and I will ensure that you will do everything I planned for you. So if I go through a sticky, difficult period, that's all right. God knows about that. He knows you'll bring me through. I don't have to become all despondent and despairing. Oh, God, I failed. He says, I know, but it's all right. I'm still in charge. And I'm going to bring you through, and I'm going to see that you fulfill everything. Everything that I planned for you. So when I stand before the Lord, everything he planned for me will have been fulfilled. Not because of me, but because of him. Because of his great, wonderful love. Because of his mercy. And because of his forgiveness. Because of his wonderful grace that he lavishes upon me and he lavishes upon you. It's just so wonderful to be totally secure in the purposes of God. Hallelujah. See, God is greater than your mistakes. He's much greater than your sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, when Jesus hung on that cross, he didn't become a sinner, but he became sin. Scripture says he became sin. He suffered God's judgment on sin. And he had to endure 3 hours of darkness and separation from his Father, because that is the consequence of sin. But before Jesus went to the cross, I'm sure he knew that he would have to go through that separation, that darkness. But you see, he knew his Father would bring him through. Because he knew the Father's love for the Son. That he wouldn't leave him in that darkness. He wouldn't leave him on a cold stone slab in a tomb. But he would raise him up. He would bring him through. See, this is it. Doesn't matter what you go through, God will bring you through. He will always bring you through because you're his child. Hallelujah. And even when you come to the end of your days and you die, you don't have to fear the future because he will bring you through death into the glory of his risen life. You just have to get used to the idea that you're not really in charge. He's in charge. Amen? And you can't take on God and win. So he knows that he is going to actually work out his purpose for you. All you have to do really is just keep surrendered to him. Just keep submitted to him. That's all. Because he is Lord. He's the boss. That's why I love to call him Master. He's my Master. I'm just his servant. I'm just, you know, he's the teacher. I'm a pupil. But, you see, servant doesn't have to be greater than his master. It just has to be like his master. So, Lord Jesus, I just want to be like you. Oh, the flesh. Oh. Oof. The flesh has desires that are not like Jesus. Have you noticed that? And Jesus said, yeah, I've taken that into account too. I said, well, you just got to deny yourself. Just deny that flesh. I don't judge you for having desires of the flesh. I just don't want you to walk in those desires. But having a desire is not sin. Yielding to it is. Temptation isn't a sin. Jesus was tempted. But yielding to the temptation, then it becomes sin. But even when we do that, he doesn't condemn us. Is he happy with that? No. Is he pleased with you? Yes. Why? Because you're his child. I brought up 3 children. I loved them even when they were naughty. I know it's very difficult to believe that Pastor Clive could ever be naughty, but... I could bear testimony to every one of his 50 years, and... My wife said to me on Sunday, because she knew I was going to preach after Pastor Clive was given his gift, he said, don't say anything to embarrass him. I said, no, I've got no intention of saying anything to embarrass him. Until now. But you see, the point is that if you have a child, you love the child. You don't love the child because of their performance. You love the child because he's your child. And this is the case with God. He loves you because you're his child. He's adopted you. He chose you. He made you his child. And when you're naughty, he still loves you. He's still pleased with you. He's not pleased with what you've done, but he's still pleased with you because you're his. So he doesn't say, oh, you've been a naughty, wicked child. I've gone off you. I wish I'd never chosen you. I wish I'd never called you. I wish I'd never come and lived in you by my spirit. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, the devil's got one over on me then. No. He knows he's going to get one over on the devil, even in you. He's going to bring you right the way through to the fulfillment of what God has planned for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He loves you because he loves you. You're his child. He loves you. And you see, what do you hear parents say about their children? I want the best for my kids. I want the best for Being God, because he wants the best for you, he's already given you his best. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Hallelujah. So you can see why now you hear me say sometimes that I can never understand how any born-again believer could even question for a moment God's love for him or her. No matter what happens, no matter how difficult the situation. See, when I was diagnosed with a serious disease, I didn't think, oh, God doesn't love me, he's let this happen to me. I went, after I'd received the diagnosis, I went skipping and dancing down the road almost. I mean, I was so full of joy. I can remember walking down this road in London, just rejoicing in the Lord. Why? Because I knew he'd bring me through. See? Because I knew he loved me. No matter what diagnosis the doctor could come up with, he loved me. Jesus loved me. God loved me. He would bring me through. I didn't have to worry. What was there to be worrying about? You know, the doctor had to repeat twice what he said to me because he didn't think I was taking him seriously. He said, you don't seem to be taking what I'm seriously. Why are you smiling? And I had to explain to him. I said, well, you know, you're a doctor. Your expertise is to say what the medical thing is. I'm a person of faith, and this is my expertise, if you like. So I live by faith. He said, well, I have to tell you what the... Yeah, I said, yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate what you're telling me. And I'm telling you what... you know, what I believe. He said, well, you can believe what you like, but I have to tell you the medical situation. So I said, yes, I appreciate that, but I'm telling you what's going to happen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we parted friends. Praise the Lord. But you see, this is it. He will always see you through. There can never be a moment of time, not even a split second, when God doesn't love you. There can never be a situation in which you're placed when God doesn't love you. When he doesn't know. When he doesn't understand what you're going through. There's never a moment when he leaves you to your own devices. He's always there. He's always on hand. He's always living in you. All the time. All the time. All the time. Nothing. Scripture says, nothing in the whole of creation will ever separate you from the love of God. No angel, no demon, nothing can ever, ever, ever separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Come on, let's stand. Let's stand. Let's praise the Lord for his wonderful, wonderful love. Come on. Come on. Come on. Let's thank him for his wonderful, wonderful, wonderful love. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. He will carry you through. He said, I will carry you. It's one of his promises. No matter what you go through, he will always carry you through. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What great love.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.